Because the title of my message today is The Glory of God. You know, I enjoy the nature. Okay, in Itublé, we were talking to this lady. She is the SP. I don't know how you call them, okay? She's like the counselor of Gimbal. Voted number two recently. She was saying that Gimbal compared to Miangau. Miangau is much richer. She said that the people in Gimbal are much poorer. So I was telling Pastor Lily that why don't we restore our essential community, going out and go and do community work. She was excited. And I told her that the Ministry of Health partners with us. And recently they wrote to us again and they wanted to restore the medical, dental in the Philippines. And I said that we can also do that. But I said we will kick off with the essential community. That means a team of us. But I'm going to raise some fund, okay? Then we will go there and just bless the people there with groceries and some rice. Then later part, I'm going to talk to Eddie from Manila, Helen Tan from Roha City, and a good friend of mine called Benny and the wife. I'm going to tell them, three of them, just come down and let's do some community work over there. She was kind of excited, a knowledgeable lady and very, very cultured, speak good English. So if we partner with them, that means we are partnering with the government officials, which is something that is very good, okay? This is what I think we should be doing, okay? We cannot just enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the goodness of God in our life. We should be reaching out, okay? Praise God. I'm going to talk about the glory of God. Let's read Psalms 26, verse 1 to 12. Psalms 26, verse 1 to 12. Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in my way, in my integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I walk in thy truth. I have not sat with vain person, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my souls with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief, and their right hand is full of pride. But for me, I will walk in my integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregation, will I bless the Lord. God, I pray that you just anoint this message, God. I commit the entire service, the entire thoughts, the entire ministering unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, before we go on, okay, Roland, you wrote a very nice song, okay, but please correct your English, okay? Not that we have anything, okay? It's just that sometimes it represents a church. Okay, so maybe those that are composing new songs, can you just let Pastor Lily, and look at your grandma, okay? I know some of you are very irked by this sort of things, okay? My two children are very irked, okay? They say something English that is wrong, they are very irked. And instead of concentrating on the worship, which is, I mean, the song is very nice, we just concentrate on the English. Joy and Jen are especially that, okay? These are the educated people, and they are the people that are, they are just not, it's very irritated if one word is wrong, okay? So the grammar, especially the past tense, okay, be praised, be blessed, should be ED, sorry, this is not my message, okay? I'm just correcting, okay, some mistakes. Because it has gone on for four times already. Yeah. This thing has gone on for four times, we cannot. Okay, we are very merciful, but you go on four times. Cannot, we have to say already, okay? The glory of God. This is very interesting, okay? When we hear of generational terms all the time, the X generation, okay? I don't think there's a Y generation, okay? When we hear of generational terms all the time, the definition, okay, is not official. However, based on widespread consensus, as well as the new generation Z analysis, by the Pew Research Center and defined by U.S. Census Bureau. These are the birth years and ages of the generation you want to use in 2022. Okay, note carefully. Can you all see it? I think you can see. Okay. Generation names are based on when members of that generation become adults. That means they become, they reach the age of 12 to 21. Okay, so let's look at it. Let's go to the below, the lowest, the boomer generation. Okay, they are born in 1955 to 1964. They are the age of 86, 58 to 67 right now. Then you have the generation X. Okay, my Pastor Lily and I, we always know that we are called the boomers. Okay, since young. Joy and Jen and even my two sons-in-law, they are the millennial kids. Okay, who are the millennial kids? They are born from when? From 1981 to 1996. I think majority of you are in this group. Okay, they are between the age of 26 to 41 right now. The Z generation are born between 1997 and 2012. Okay, then it is said that those born between 2012 to 2024, okay, maybe L's generation, they are known as the Alpha generation. What are the Alpha generation? The Alpha generation children are born at a time when technological, which is so true, technological devices are getting smarter and smarter. You are coming the day where you will drive your car without a driver. You will just click your button and your fridge will open. It's coming. Okay, you will just click something and the light will just switch on. Where technological devices are getting smarter. Everything is connected. That's why you're called the 5G. They say that you need the 5G to have all these things taking place in our society. Singapore is very interconnected. And the physical and the digital are coming together. As they grow up, this Alpha generation, new technologies will become part of their lives. Part of their lives. And their experiences and their attitudes and their expectation of the world is affected by these new technological devices. But the reason why I'm sharing these generation terms, okay, is concerning the millennial generation. The millennial generation, okay. The millennial generation is from 1991, is it? 1981 to 1996. That means they are those at the age of 26 to 41. Many of you are in this generation, the age of 26 to 41. They are at the prime of their life. It's true. They kind of own the world. Okay, they are in the economy. They are in the business world. They are at the prime of their life and they kind of own the world right now. In a survey of the millennial children, my children are included, okay? 50% of the young adults, these 50% of them, say a major life goal was to become famous. Yeah. In the past, people wanted to be famous for doing something. But now, they just want to be famous even though they are not doing anything. Celebrity has become an end in itself. An end in itself. They just want to be famous. Not because of anything they've done. You look at Instagram. You look at TikTok. You look at Twitter. You look at Facebook. Even you look at YouTube. Who are involved in all this? The millennial generation. Let me tell you that. And most of them are patronized. All these are media, okay? All these apps are patronized by the millennial generation. And the main characteristics is they want to be known. They want to be known. They just want to be known. They just want to be famous. I don't know whether you remember this show. Humanji. Okay, there were four characters. And one, this lady, before they got into the jungle, when she wake up in the morning, when she was on the bed, the phone was there And how she face the phone, how the cup of coffee she has to turn properly, has to be short. Her most important item when she was in the jungle, the thing that she was looking for was, where is my phone? So the main characteristics is that they want to be known, to be famous. They want to attain God-like characteristics. Not only do these people want to be famous, they idolize those people that have achieved celebrity status. They idolize them. The widespread interest in famous individual has become and described as the cult of celebrity. What is the cult of celebrity? The cult of celebrity is defined as the tendency of people to care too much about famous people. They not only want to be famous. When people, they are famous, they go after them. They idolize them and they follow them. Look at the silver court case between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I think all of you heard about it. The courtroom can only accommodate 50 people at Fairfax Court House in Virginia. They can accommodate only 50 people. But people all over America flew in to Fairfax, Virginia Court. And they will start to queue at midnight just to be in one of the seats, to get one of the seats. And if they couldn't get the seat, they will wait outside the courtroom and they will scream, they will go berserk, they will shout on top of their voices when Johnny Depp comes out of the courthouse. They idolize Johnny Depp. This is the cult of Johnny Depp. The same thing happened to Tom Cruise. Okay, Tom Cruise recently was trying to promote his show Top Gun Maverick, which is doing very well. He get to see Kate Middleton and William, Prince and Princess. He get to see them. And when he was at Buckingham Palace and he was appearing at some people, instead of screaming at Kate and William, they were screaming when they see, the crowd was screaming when they see Tom Cruise. This is truly the cult of celebrity in our generation. Fame to the ambitious is like salt water to the thirsty. Salt water to the thirsty. You drink salt water when you are thirsty. The more you get, the more you want. Some of you really idolize something. Some celebrity. Let's be very honest. You are the Millennium Kids. Madonna, at one stage, probably the most famous woman on the planet, said, "I won't be happy until I'm as famous as God. I'm as famous as God." They want to have what the Bible called. They want to have that glory. They want to enjoy that glory. Celebrity and fame are pale reflection, nothing in comparison to the true glory. Glory is used in the Bible to denote the manifestation of God's presence. Glory is one of the most common words in the Bible. God's glory means His importance, His reputation, His majesty, His honor. Perhaps it's not surprising as society move away from worshipping the glory of God. They turn to the worship of the glory of celebrity and fame. We are called to worship God's glory, not the cult of celebrity. We are called to reflect God's glory, however imperfect our lives can be. What is the emphasis on the glory of God mentioned in the Bible? 3 points. Number one, seek God's glory. God's glory is better than fame and celebrity. Rather than seeking celebrity status, to be famous, to be known, David is calling us to seek God's glory. In the Bible Message, David writes, "God, I love living with you. Your house glows with the glory, with your glory, with your glory. Honestly, David was a celebrity himself in his own right. Let's be very honest. He was a king. He was a celebrity in his own right. I mean, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 say, and the woman answered one another as they played and say, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. David was very, very famous. Very, very famous. I mean, he was young, handsome, and he killed Goliath. And everybody are talking about David. Yet David did not seek glory for himself. Rather, he led the people in giving glory to God. Are you seeking your own glory? Are you seeking your own glory? You love to walk in academic gowns. You love to smart yourself in the radiance of publicity. Public flattery. You love public flattery. You bask in prominent position. You love prominent positions. You love to sit at the heads of tables. This is not so with David. Psalms 26, 12 say, my feet, you listen carefully, my feet stands on level ground. And in the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. My feet stand level ground. I won't fall. I'm standing on level ground. And in great congregation, I will praise the Lord. No, I was against big congregation, big churches. This one God said, you're wrong. He God told me that there's nothing wrong with great congregation. So this one, I'm wrong. Big churches, there's nothing wrong. It's found here. When David said his feet stands on level ground, it simply means that he was a sensible person, a very practical person. Even after he became famous, he always kept his feet on the ground. What does this mean? It means that I am upon a very sure and solid foundation. Not slippery foundation. Celebrity status is slippery foundation. You know, Amber Heard lost 10 million. She cannot pay. They want to remove her from Aquaman 2. Okay, she in fact, they gave her a very small portion only for Aquaman 2. That's coming out. But in the end, after this case, they want to remove her. It means that I'm on stable ground. It means that I am upon a sure and solid foundation, not slippery ground. When I'm seeking God's glory. Why? Because when you're on stable ground, you're under the protection of God's promise. You're under the protection of the Almighty. You're under the watchful eyes of God. It can also mean when you are on stable ground, you are constantly being rescued from difficulties that besets your life. What David is saying that he will do and persist in his plain, righteous, straight course of life. Thou, but straight. Not using frauds or wicked acts. Okay, like the recent election, okay, a lot of things are done. Some of you, I know you get 1,200. I think all of you got money, am I correct? Let's be honest, okay? Pastor Lily and me, we did not get, okay? So you should give me a treat. All come together and give Pastor Lily a treat. What I'm trying to say is that not using frauds and wicked acts, perverse and crooked path, which your enemy chose to walk in. David said he will walk in his integrity. If you want to seek God's glory, follow God's example. Sorry, follow David's example. Try to lead a blameless life. Try to lead a blameless life. Trust in the Lord without wavering. Try to keep your heart and your mind sure. Be guided by God's love and truth. Avoid getting too close to people who might bring you down. Tricksters, thugs, gangsters, double dealers. You know, when Pastor Lily preached a sermon a few weeks ago, I'll be very honest with you. It was like God speaking to me one-to-one. It comes like a boomerang on me. And God was speaking to me. Walk with me and be blameless. And I will give you a special blessing and righteousness. The word righteousness means vindication. So what God is trying to say that he will give me a special blessing and vindication if I walk in him and be blameless. Since that week, okay, honestly, I tried to obey God by walking with him and be blameless in my lifestyle. And I can sense God's presence. But the many times I can felt the warmth of God here. The warmth of God here. Just read the Bible and you just felt the warmth of God. You know, the pandemic has really affected me because I was working in Singapore. But I'm back. I'm getting back. Getting back to that kind of relationship with God. And I sense His presence, and God was pleased with me when I said, God, I'll obey You. And I'm still waiting for the special blessing and the vindication. I don't know why He mentioned vindication, but I was not thinking of God vindicating me or any other thing. I'll just be very honest with you. Of course, I'm also conscious that although I try to lead a sinless life, I did not succeed at times. And I need God's redemption. I need God's mercy. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Okay? Rather than claiming that you are a sinless person, I'm trying, and I pray that all of us are trying, to live a life of integrity, to live a life that is sincere, a life that is wholehearted to God. That's what God wants. God just wants a sincere person. God doesn't want liars. God wants a sincere person, and God wants a person that is wholehearted to Him. That's what God wants. And David is so special. You know, David is so special, was so special. Other kings at that time have expected people to worship them as a cult of their celebrity. You look at the Caesars, look at the Herod. They love the adulation. Herod loved the adulation so much that at one time, he, instead of giving glory to God, he wanted people to give glory to him. And you know, the Bible says he died at that moment on the spot, and worms come out of his body. Okay, when you take glory for yourself, when it is God's glory, you be careful, you watch out. David was different. He was a worshipper of God. He wanted to seek God's glory and reflect God's glory. You know, he said, I go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. He goes on to say, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where you dwell, where your glory dwells. Number two, first you seek God's glory. Second, you seek God's glory in God's church. You seek God's glory in God's church. Psalms 26:8 says, I've loved the habitation of the house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. For the people in the Old Testament, okay, the temple in Jerusalem was the place where God's glory could be found. There was one gigantic temple. Okay, that was also the Herod's. There was the Herod's temple. But before Herod's temple, there was a Solomon's temple. There was this temple. And the Bible says in this temple, it was where God's glory can be found. When Solomon finished building that Solomon's temple, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 to 11 says, when the priest left the holy place, the cloud filled the Lord's temple, and the people were unable to carry out their duties due to the cloud because of the Lord, because the Lord's glory filled the Lord's temple. Think about it. The Lord's glory filled the Lord's temple. The Lord's glory filled the church today. It is said that the face of God was in the temple. When you say face, okay, it means the presence of God. When you talk about face, okay, it's actually talk about the face of God. It's actually talk about the presence of God. When you talk about my glory, it's actually talking about your soul. Your soul, what is the right word? Emanates, is it? The glory of God. Your soul bring forth the glory of God. I want you to think of this mind-boggling truth. It is God's grace and God's willingness to meet us where we are, the church. The church. So those of you who are in online, go to church. Go to church. The Bible didn't say, I will dwell upon the virtual church. No, you go to church. In order to help us understand the specific manifestation of God's glory, it's important to understand the frequency that is used of this term, Shekinah. Shekinah is a transliteration of a Hebrew word meaning the one who dwells, or he that which dwells. You talk about the Shekinah glory, the one who dwells, that which dwells. It is associated with the presence of God or His glory dwelling with man. It reminds us that we did not seek to dwell with God, but He seeks to dwell with us. And this truth should evoke continual thanksgiving to those who have been brought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which all of us are, and under the shelter of His wings. In Exodus, we see that it was God who first expressed His desire. And Adam and Eve was walking in the Garden of Eden. God came. God came. Not Adam and Eve go to a certain place where God's house is. God came. His desire was to dwell with man. Therefore, He instructed Moses, construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. And God is saying that, construct this place that I may dwell among you. So Shekinah glory is the visible. It's like the wind. Noticeable. It is evident. It is evident. Manifestation of the presence of God. It is a majestic presence and manifestation of God in which He descended to dwell among men. Whenever the invisible God becomes visible, whenever the omnipresence of God is localized, like in this church, Evangel Tabernacle, this is the Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory is translated as in Greek as brightness, brilliance, splendor. It depicts how Shekinahs appear. It also means, when you use the word Shekinah, it means to dwell. It means to tabernacle among us. Can you say like David, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwell. Do you love God's church? Where He lives, and the place, the church, where His glory dwells? No, I want you to think, that's why we must not take church attendance lightly. You cannot. We are different. We are very different from the world. Okay? God said, you shall not follow the laws of the world. God told me, I command you not to follow the laws of the Canaanites and the Egyptians. You cannot follow the laws of this outside world. Right. Young people, you have to follow the laws of God. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to understand this truth. Unless you don't want to be a Christian, then I understand you. When we come to church, we seek God's glory. And we will find God's glory because it is said so clearly. The Lord's glory filled the Lord's church. The Lord's glory filled the Lord's church. You know, it was said that in 1906, the Azusa Street Revival that took place more than 100 years ago, that was 100 years ago, okay? For more than three years, the cloud of God's glory rested on that one church. I just want to think of how powerful the cloud of God's glory rested in that one church for 3 years. 3 years. Seymour, the pastor. You know, he doesn't want to get any glory until he built a box in the pulpit and he hide behind the box. He just wants all glory to go to God. Some claim that they saw God's cloud. Many felt the cloud of God's glory. Children that were there say they saw the cloud and they were playing in the cloud. There was a mist in the church and they were playing in the mist. He was always present for that 3 years. Just as it was in the days of old, God filled the house with the cloud, filled the church with the cloud of His glory. He attracted thousands of people all around the world. They came, followed the cloud, and left filled with God's Spirit. There are over 600 million Pentecostals on earth today. Every single one of these 600 million Pentecostals can trace their roots back in 3012 Azusa Street. Though the building no longer remains, the fire that started there certainly does. The fire spread from Los Angeles to around the world. The Pentecostal church continued to be the fastest growing segment of Christianity in the world until today. You know, this morning when I woke up, when I was waking up, I checked my email. I found that coincidentally, today is Pentecost Sunday, 5th of June 2022. What happened is 312 Azusa Street Revival happens in the book of Acts chapter 1. Which says, when the day of Pentecost was come, when you say, when the day of Pentecost was come, it means that it was planned. It was planned. It was already planned by God. Pentecost is a feast commanded in the Old Testament law. The purpose of Pentecost is to kickstart the missions God has for His people since the first page of the Bible, to fill the earth with God's presence. Again, a reference to God's face, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. Jesus won the cross on the cross, and the Holy Spirit ignited Pentecost. Pentecost is the reversal of the scattering of languages. You know, the Tower of Babel caused the languages to scatter the people all over the world. Pentecost is a reversal of the scattering of languages of nations that happened at the Tower of Babel back in Genesis 11. Instead of spreading the nation out by the Spirit and through the gospel, God is bringing them back together into the collective body of Christ. You want anything to happen, it happens in the church. Anything that has to do with God, that is miraculous, that is powerful, always has to do with a church. Have you noticed His glory and power around you? Recently, God showed me His glory in the heavens above. You know, I enjoy the studying about the solar system, the Milky Way, the galaxies. And they say that every star you see in the sky is brighter than the sun, our sun. I mean, we went to Itukble. You look at the beauty of God's creation. Yet, I cannot understand this great God, this majestic God, just want to calm down. Who are we? We are just ants. He just want to come down and enjoy fellowship with us. I mean, He's way beyond your expectation. You know, I also found out that the Bible says if you reject Him, He will cast you out into the outer darkness, right? Do you know that the black hole, there's darkness and it's always spinning, it is like a spears? Maybe. I don't know. Those people that reject Christ, God will just throw them into the black hole in the universe. God has showed you and asked you about your life. He has given you power as you have believed. He has put a new spirit in you and enveloped you in His love. Let His power come to you now as you surrender to Him. And those of you who are dead for a long time, activate the power of the Holy Spirit fully in your life one more time. He can do more in you as He works powerfully in you. Are you ready for the glory of God to come to your soul? The Lord's glory is supposed to fill God's church. Rather than seeking self-glory, which the majority of the population at this age are, especially the millennium children, why don't you seek God's glory to fill this church? No, David caught a glimpse of God's glory when he entered the temple. And he said that your house glow with the glory of God. I'm praying that God will say this church glow with the glory of God. When we gather together, you should get a glimpse of God's glory. Catch a glimpse of God. Let's not be satisfied until you catch the glory of God in your life. Number three, reflect. Not only you have to seek God's glory, not only you must seek God's glory in the church. You individually, alone, on your own, you are to reflect God's glory. Both individually and together, the followers of Jesus Christ are to glow. You are to glow with the glory of God. We are seen as God's temple. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 22 says, being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. Do you have the glory of God in your face? Do you have the glory of God in your face? Or is there darkness in your face? I'm trying to explain the glow of God. Trying to get some commentaries on the glow of God in our life. And I went through the website to try to explain, we as individuals can reflect God's glory. I was browsing the website, and it shocked me that Pastor Lily's articles on the glow of God was among the first to be shown on the search engine. So Pastor Lily is quite famous now. So I'm going to use an example in this third point. She said, I must give glory to whom is glory is given. So I give her glory. She will not get the glory in heaven. She will get the glory right now. Okay? She said, He said to us, take care what the face which look out from your mirror in the morning is a pleasant face. I repeat, take care that the face which look out from your mirror in the morning is a pleasant face. You may not see it again all day because you don't bring a mirror everywhere you go. But others will. Others will. I told you 2 weeks ago we had a fellowship with a couple and they glow. They have the glow. There's no darkness. Okay, to put it correctly, they have no darkness. They have no darkness in their life. Especially the man, he has the glow of God. Another word for face is countenance. In other words, take care of our countenance for others will see it. Take care of the countenance for others will see it. Evidently, the Bible talks a lot about the countenance of a man. Okay, the Vine Dictionary define countenance as the appearance of a man. The first thing God looks at Christian is the countenance of the heart. But the countenance of the heart is reflected onto the countenance of a man. So men, on the other hand, look first and foremost. Okay, when you get into interaction with people, even today, okay, humankind, first and foremost, okay, we look at the countenance of our face. They look at the countenance of your face. They decide to like you or to reject you just at the first glance of your face. It is said that women with attractive appearances has 30% chances of getting employed. It said that women, even they commit felony of the law, with that kind of countenance, will get a lower court sentence, which is true. Okay, Amber Heard is quite pretty, quite pretty. She lost a case. She is supposed to pay $50 million, but the jury said you pay $8 million. So she got a lighter sentence, which is true. God expects us to have the countenance of a heart that glows with the Spirit of God. When the countenance of our heart is aglow with the Spirit of God, the countenance of our face will also radiate with that glow. The word aglow comes from the word glow. Okay, to glow. Okay, what do you mean, Pastor? You say our face must have the glow of God. The glow means to give off light and heat, to shine as if greatly heated, to show a strong bright color on your face, to be excessively brilliant. The synonym for glow is actually light. That means you must have a light on your face. Light in the dictionary means bright color. Okay? The glow of God does not mean you shine on your own. No, you don't shine on your own. But it's an outflow of a heart that is a glow and a flame with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Because your heart glow. Your heart glow. Therefore, it is manifested in your face. Moses, our glow was the result of 40 days and 40. It was not his own glow because he was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights in Mount Sinai. That's why when he come down, his face glow with the glory of God. And there's really such a thing as having a glow of God in your life. There is such a thing. It is a glow given only to Christian. Christian who have the light of God within the heart. It is a glow that everyone, Christian and non-Christian, can see, obviously. It's also a glow that can disappear. If we as Christian are not careful to master over a few things in our life, I'm telling you, you don't master over a few things in your life, you can lose that glow. No matter how pretty you are. Many a time, Pastor Lily and I will meet people and we'll be very surprised to see the face of the particular person, that there's darkness. There's no glow, but there's darkness in the face. There was one time we met this sister in Christ whom we have not seen for a long time. And we saw her, we were surprised. And I told Pastor Lily, hey, she has lost the glow of God. She used to work for this so-and-so, and now she's working for this. And after she worked for this, she has lost the glow of God. Today she has died. She has died. Young. I want to be honest with you. I don't want my face to have darkness, but having a glow of God. If my face doesn't have the glow of God, but darkness, I know I'm not living right with God. And I will be very, very troubled. I will be very, very troubled. Specifically, we can lose the glow of God if we do not master over a few things in our life. Whether it's sin in our heart, sin in our actions, in our works, sin in our lifestyle, sin in our mind and our thoughts, we could lose the glow of God. The glow disappears, and in its place, the face is a downcast face. Totally downcast. Dark face, a fallen face. I'm not talking about white skin, yellow skin, black skin. Okay, there are people that are black skin and yet they have the glow of God. I'm talking about the glow. Okay, not you're black so you have dark glow. No such thing. I've seen people that have dark complexion but their face has the glow. I've seen people that are very ugly but their face have the glow. So those people, they're ugly, they don't have a face, that glow is even worse. No, I'm telling you, frankly. Actually, you can distinguish people. Actually, you can distinguish. You know, Pastor Lady, me, we walk. We can look at these people that walk. I say, hey, be careful. They are not safe. They are evil people. It can be seen. I'm telling you, it can be seen. Having evilness in them just by looking at their faces. Why? Because their heart is so evil that it wells up, it culminates in the face. To authenticate this point, okay, Pastor, are you sure there's such a thing as a glow of God in your face? We have two characters in the Bible that glow with the glory of God. Peter, James, and John caught a glimpse of Jesus transfigured. The word transfigured means transformed. Simply means glory revealed. When Jesus was transfigured, the glory was revealed. When Jesus was transfigured, he was transformed. Peter doesn't know what to do and he talked nonsense. There's such a brightness in Jesus' face that they were afraid. Paul said that we should not be surprised by this because one day we too, with the unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transfigured, are being transformed with glory revealed into his image with ever increasing glory. I'm going to tell you, if you make it to heaven, you will have the glow of God, you will shine brightly. You will have the glow. You will definitely have the glow. You will be very bright in your life. Celebrity is often associated with wealth and luxurious lifestyle. Look at Johnny Depp. Wealth and luxurious lifestyle. In the life of Jesus, suffering and glow are connected. Inextricably connected. No choice. The moment he comes down from the mountain, he explained to his disciple that the Son of Man is to be betrayed, to suffer much and be rejected. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have the glow of God. It doesn't mean that everything is fine. There will be suffering. Suffering and the glow of God is connected, especially for a Christian. But for the secular world, they have the luxuries and they have the wealth. It's totally different. I conclude. It is said in the Message Bible that when they finished building the tabernacle, the Message Bible called it, when they finished building the dwelling, which precedes the temple, the cloud covered the tent meeting, the glory of God filled the dwelling. Moses could not enter the tent because the cloud had settled upon it. The glory filled the temple. The glory of God was tangibly powerful at that moment. It could actually be seen as settling in the tabernacle. You must let God's glory settle in this church. We must let God's glory settle in this church. We must. We must. Through the gospel that display the glory of God, you get a glimpse of the glory of God. You get a glimpse. Jesus bore the darkness of our sin on the cross. The point he lost the glory of God. Am I correct? Because God turned his face away from Jesus. The Shekinah presence of God left Jesus on the cross because he was taking in all the inglorious sin upon his own body, all the inglorious sin of each and every one of us accumulated together into Jesus. Yet each time we sin, we dent the glory of God. We dent the glory, God's name and the presence within us. And we continue our sin without repentance. This inglorious lifestyle, you shouldn't show it in our face. I'm telling you, it will. But remember, as Jesus took our place by suffering on the cross, by losing the glory of God on our behalf, we can now come to him to exchange our inglorious darkness to get the glorious glow of God for his righteous redemption. All he asks from us is to see that he lost all glory so that today you can have all his glory. I remember during the G12 encounter, my face really had the glow of God. And I was really feeling the presence of God. And there was one time I was just crying, saying, God, let me not lose this presence of yours. Let me not just lose this presence. Because I know how weak I can be and how I can lose the presence of God. And I did lose it. I did lose it. But today, if you have lost the presence of God, you have lost the glory of God. Christ has died for you on the cross of Calvary. You can exchange your inglorious darkness for his glory. Today. 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 Today is Pentecost Sunday. Let him fill you with his glory. But before he can fill you with your glory, surrender your life with him. Exchange it with his glory. Let God cleanse you. Let God wash you and purify you. Musician, can we come? The glory of God. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I say very clearly, God's glory fill God's church. Catch a glimpse of God's glory today. And if you are filled with inglorious sin, remember that Christ died for you. Therefore, exchange your life for all his glory. Seek not celebrity status. Seek not the glow of all this cult of celebrity. Seek God's glory. Be on level ground. Stand your feet on level ground. Be practical. Understanding. Shall we all stand up? Shall we all stand up? Let's give some time for God to minister to us and ask God for a blessing. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let God touch each and every one of us today as we sing. As we sing.
Let's prepare our hearts as we enter into the glorious presence of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus,
Brothers and sisters, we heard from the sermon just now that the Shekinah glory tabernacles among the Moses tabernacle and even Solomon's temple. Today we don't have these two here with us, but Jesus has died. His temple, his body was broken, so that today he can give you this new temple, which is your body. Your body now is the new temple of the Holy Spirit. And today, if you were to just lift up your hearts, lift up your voice,
Amen.
Lift up your spirit, and just praise Him and embrace Him, the Shekinah glory of God will come
Amen.
And dwell. And not only dwell, but it will emanate. It will show forth through your face. We are not only to seek the glory of God, and not our own glory. We are also to seek the glory of God in the temple, in the church. But we are the spiritual church. You seek God's glory in this temple, which is your life. If today, in this temple, which is your life, is smeared with the unclean things like sin. Sin of your body, sin of your flesh, sin of your spirit, sin of your mind. Then today, ask the blood of Christ from the cross to come and cleanse you, to forgive you, and wash you from all your unrighteousness.
Amen.
You cannot lift up a filthy lips and filthy hands and a filthy heart to the Lord. Today is the time for you to invoke the cleansing and the forgiveness of God and say, Lord, let your glory outweigh my urges. Let your glory outweigh the temptation. Let your glory outweigh the downpour of my heart. Because Jesus is the lifter one in my heart. You can lift me up. Sing the first stanza. Because it says that when you raise up, when you raise up Jesus, you raise up the glory of God within you. Sing the first stanza, not the chorus, the first stanza. Yes.
Oh, 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 oh
The message I got from this prophecy is, children, how I wish to dwell among you and live inside you. But you have never given me permission. You always wanted things your own way, and you are following the laws of this world. God said, I knock at your door and you open, I will come, I will dwell among you, and I'll fill you with my presence. And I'll radiate your life, and you will no more be the same. Your life will glow with the glory of God.
The Spirit is saying, are you hungry for my glory? Are you hungry for my glory? Are you hungry for my presence? Are you crying out, Lord, fill me, fill me, fill me? But Lord, today, I'm so far from you. I'm so far from what you expected of me. I fail you, Lord. Yet, your heart cries out, Lord, fill me. And I want to say to you, daughter, the Lord has given you Jesus. And if you feel that you have failed to come to the presence of God, Jesus is the arbitrator.
Amen.
Jesus is the way, the life, the truth, to come to my presence. You embrace Jesus. You cry to him. You ask him for grace. And the more you acknowledge your insufficiency, the more will be the sufficiency of his grace flowing down to you. And my grace unto you is my glory. Thus say the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, karabasa karabala. Sing the song of the worship. Just now you all sang the song. Thank you, Lord. Shakarararabaranda. Yes, glorify thy name.
Glorify thy name.
Let's all glorify the name of God. Jesus, 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 you be the way to the presence of God. You be our way to the glory of God. We cannot make it, but you have made it for us. So today, only by faith and repentance, when we embrace the way, we can make it to the presence, the glorious presence of God. Shall surely come. For I am the Father who loveth to dwell among my redeemed people. But my people, I'm calling to you, do not be surprised when you meet fiery ordeals that come upon you as if something has gone wrong. For say unto thee, when I allow suffering to come upon your life, do not waste it. For suffering will bring forth your faith. Suffering will purify your faith and will redound to the glory of God's name. And that the more you share in the suffering of my son, Jesus Christ, the more you will share in the glory of God's name when my son's glory is revealed upon you. So do not be surprised when you meet fiery ordeals today. Be patient, full of faith, cling on to me, be close to me, walk with me, for my son has really walked the fiery furnace of fire on the cross, so that today you're not alone in whatever suffering you're in. You are having me by your side.
Amen.
Your Savior. And wait, wait. Glory shall redound in my name upon you, and you shall shine like the bright shining stars in the sky. Thus say the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you. Thank you for touching your people. Thank you for speaking to them. Thank you for encouraging them. God, we believe in your word that glory and suffering are connected, God. Therefore, I pray that, God, whatever suffering we go through, you will bring forth the glory of God. But you will be with us in our suffering. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. Please be seated. Please take note that this afternoon, we have our second service. Okay, and they also have the SCG at 3 p.m. Okay, please take note. 3:30, rather. Then please take note that this next week, okay, please take note, we have Wednesday to Thursday, cell group. Go back to your DJ cell group. Saturday, please take note, Saturday, there will be the T-Zone at 2 p.m., right? You still have?
Power encounter.
Okay, there is a power encounter at 10 to 12. Okay, can we look at the power encounter? I'd like to encourage you, okay, to come, okay? I think we have lost a lot as a result of the pandemic, but we must not always blame the pandemic, okay? We have to, whatever we put our hand to plow on, that we will receive our reward. So the thing that we want to do is this coming Saturday to have the power encounter service. There will be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There will be the prophetic activation. There will be a praise and worship. There will be the touch from the Holy Spirit. Those people that are involved, they are interested in availing your service for this power encounter service, just stay behind for a while and Pastor Lily will just give you a brief briefing. Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.